Hey, good morning. We're starting a new series today that's going to take us up through Palm Sunday called Living on Purpose. And really, here's the thing. Human beings were designed with this need to know, why is this human being? Why am I here? What's my purpose? When we don't know purpose, it can have devastating consequences. I'll give you an example. This is an extreme example, but it's a great example of how it plays out. World War II, there were these concentration camps where some bad people were very good at doing bad things to people. And they had to resist when they're with their prisoners of war or the people that were in the concentration camps that were being singled out and just persecuted. What they did is they needed to break their will and determination, and this is how they did it. They would tell the prisoners, there is a pile of big rocks, real heavy rocks, over here. I need you to move it 50 feet over there. Move this pile of heavy rocks 50 feet that direction. So they would go, and one by one, they would strain and take these rocks over and drop it, and they would go back, and it was just exhausting work. And you know what it is when you finish an exhausting task. It's like relief, and I'm done. And the guy would say, okay, great. Now take that same pile and move it 50 feet back that direction, right back where it started. And they would just have them move it back and forth and back and forth. And before their backs broke, their wills broke. And they gave up. And they would submit. And they would often die. They would do the same things. They would give them a task of go over there and dig a 6 feet by 6 feet by 6 feet hole in the ground. And they would do that, terrified. They thought this was going to be their grave. At the end, he would say, no, we're not going to kill you. Fill in the dirt and then do the same thing over there. And then when that's done, okay, now do it over there. And they wouldn't kill them and put them in this grave, but what happened is their will and determination were broken. And what happens to us is if we're in life and feel like I'm not here on purpose, I'm an accident. If we're in a situation where we feel like there's no purpose, it will break our will. Something inside of us breaks, and we give up, and we become defeated. The good news is that you have more purpose in your life than you know. God is a God of purpose, and here is the big takeaway we have for today that I want you to think about. You were created on purpose, for purpose, and God is always working in you with purpose. You're not an accident. You're here because God planned for you to be here. And he didn't just say make plans for your arrival. Like, he planned who you would be in life. Psalm 139 says this. You're created on purpose. For God created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Like, God, when I first come to life in my mother's womb, you're because of that. I'm here because of your plans, and I'm here on purpose. You have value. You matter. You have worth because God created you. He's your creator, and he planned for you to be here. I praise you, and this is what some of us have a hard time believing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have worth, value. You're part of God's creation, a really good part of God's creation. You're here on purpose, and you're a good creation. Your works, meaning you, are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you? Do you know that you have value? Do you know that you're here on purpose? That God said, the world and my family needs you to be part of it. You were created on purpose. And we can struggle with that truth of knowing that we're created on purpose, but we're also created for purpose. And the challenge is, if we don't use Christ as our anchor to understand that, our purposes can get lost or get really weird. The Apostle Paul was a person who lived, before we knew him as the Apostle Paul, who lived with incredible purpose and zeal and intensity. And he felt like he mattered. And he felt like he was somebody. And he was sincere, even sincere in trying to please God. But he didn't have his identity in Christ until one day everything changed. And he discovered who Christ is and who he is in Christ. And he also discovered something very, very important that we want to skip past, who we are apart from Christ. And that's a key thing to understand your purpose. Because a lot of times when we want to know God's purpose, we start with saying, where do I live? Where will I live? Where will I go to school? Who will I date? Who will I marry? What will I do for a living? What town will I live in? Those are the big pieces of God's will, his plan that we want to know. But his plan is anchored in his purposes, and his purposes are anchored in your identity of who you are in Christ. And if you don't know that, you are fumbling around in the dark looking for your purpose. So Paul tells us this is who he was and who he is, and we need to know this too. Ephesians chapter 2, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you have a digital device, you can turn there, but I'm going to share my digital device with you. As for you, Ephesians 2, verse 1, as for you, as for me, as for us, as for everybody. You, and notice that because Paul knows he's in Christ, these are past tense. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, past tense, when you followed, past tense, the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He said, look, we are apart from Christ. This is who we were. In Christ, it changes. But he goes, we need to know, understand who we were. He says, as for you, but then he says, it's all of us. He says this in verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time. This is true for everybody. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, true for all of us, we were by nature deserving wrath. And what Paul says is, there's something going on in us that we need to understand. And what we'd like to believe is that at our core, we're all basically good. Because probably in life, you could look at even some people that are pretty bad and go, well, there's something good in there. I see a little sliver of good in there. And so people default to think people are all good. But that's not what Paul says. That's not what God tells us. And the reality is you are created in the image of God. So there's a lot of good in you because if you're created. You are created to reflect his image, reflect his character, the goodness of God. But like a mirror that reflects an image created to reflect his glory and his character, we are a broken mirror. And so we don't see by looking at us the accurate picture of who we were created in the image of. Just like we can see slivers of a goodness. Oh, wow, there's something good in their life. They must be a good person. No, they were created by a good God. But at the core of it, we're all a broken mirror. Broken mirror in need of something new. We also like to all believe that the path is found in sincerity and morality. If I'm just sincere and a good person and trying to do my best, that's what matters. And we also kind of want to believe that God grades on a curve, and clearly I'm above average. That was never true in my academic career, but in life I'm like, I'm good. I'm better than average. And God grades on a curve. That's actually never anything that God says of how he does life. Those are all things the Apostle Paul kind of believed. But then he understood who he was before Jesus. And everything in verses 1 through 3 says we were spiritually dead, following the ways of the world, gratifying the cravings of the flesh, and we were deserving wrath. That's who we were before Christ. And we have to know that. But what the Bible says at the core of is that we're spiritually dead, but the good news is that's who we were if we're in Christ. If we're in Christ, now it's important that we know who we are. Our identity in Christ. Verse 4, it says this, but because of his great love for us, you have value, you're created with worth, you're here on purpose, and when we were broken and walking away and seeking to follow ourselves rather than following him, the good news for us is we were still greatly loved by God. That never changed. He loved us. And he's rich in mercy. That's true of him. That's a good thing. Because of that, he engaged with us and made us alive with Christ. And in this passage, you're going to see the phrase with Christ or in Christ repeated. It's very, very important. Made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's not like, well, they're making a good effort of it. I'll do something to help them out. It is by grace, God's unmerited favor. It is by grace you have been saved. If you are in Christ, you have been saved. He's taking care of it. Because of his love, because of his mercy, and because of our great, great need that we could not solve on our own. We were stuck. Verse 6, it says this, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And here's why. Here's some purpose. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. When you know who you were in Christ and how much you needed him, and then discover who you are, and even though you don't deserve it, how much he's done for you and how great it is, you discover your purpose is to be known by God, to know God, and to make him known by living in a life of grace that reflects your Creator and your Redeemer. There's purpose to know him, be known by him, and to make him known. Verse 8, for it is by grace. He emphasizes it again, because don't go back and thinking that God grades on the curve, or because you are just better than average, or because you are very sincere, or you are really good. No, it's because of his goodness and your surrender. That is by grace you've been saved through faith, this trust, this belief in him. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. All the credit belongs to God. He's the only solution. And before Jesus, this was us. Spiritually dead, followed the ways of the world, gratifying cravings of the flesh, deserving wrath. But because of Jesus, we're dead, now we're alive. We're living based on where the world is. No, now he's raised us up, our mind is focused on him. We're gratifying the cravings of the flesh. No, we're seated with him. Our identity is squarely seated in him. Deserving wrath? No, he saved us. He changes everything. He's not just our creator. He wants to be our redeemer. That changes the game for us. But here's the thing. If you don't fully understand and embrace who you are apart from Christ, you will struggle to understand and embrace who you are now in Christ. Paul knew it. And for me, before I was in Christ, I was spiritually dead. But Christ changes everything. Before I was in Christ, I was following myself, following others, following the heart, following the flesh. But before that, before I had a past, God had a plan. Our past didn't throw him for a loop. Before I had a past, God had a plan. Look at verse 10. For we are God's handiwork. Again, he knit us together in our mother's womb. He's been intricately involved in our lives. And we're an artisan, individual creation by God, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's not how you get into God's family, but that's how you live when you're in it. You're going to do good in the world. No, you're saved because of his grace, because of his free gift. But how we live is we are created to do good works. Catch this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Like there was advanced planning. Before I had a past, God had a plan that he was going to do something in us and through us in our life. Paul kind of already had talked about this earlier in Ephesians. I'll just kind of show you what he said earlier. Ephesians 1, it says, for he chose us in him, not just before we had a past, before there was an us, before the creation of the world. He had a plan and he chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. I can't do that on my own. I know that about myself. You know that about myself. I'm broken. I'm sinful. It's true of all of us. But his plan is that's who we would be. Before the creation of the world, before I had a past, he had a plan. In his sight, that's how he would see us. In love, again, you are value, you have worth. You have value, you have worth, you are loved. In love, he predestines, he planned ahead of time for us to have adoption into his family, to sonship. How? Through Jesus Christ. In accordance with his pleasure, this is what he wants to do. It brings him great pleasure. And his will, this is his purpose and his plan. His purpose and his plan is to take care of your past. And he planned on that before you even had a past. So before Jesus, spiritually dead, all these things. Because of Jesus, we're made alive, all these things. But before the creation of the world, even before I had a past, I was chosen. There were plans for me to be adopted into his family, to be included in his plan, and I was given purpose. See, before you were born, before anyone was born, God said, I've got a plan. And even I can't mess it up. As a matter of fact, my mess-ups even become part of his plan to use for his good purposes. before I had a past, before you had a past, God had a plan. And there's nothing wasted. No failure or mistake can get in the way. Nothing's wasted. No failure or mistake can cause us from missing his purpose. Some of us have a past. And we try to believe this about ourselves, that I'm forgiven, I'm made alive, I'm a new creation. But I still remember what I did. And the people I did it to sometimes remember what I did. And I take that part that I'm most shameful about in my past and I hide it behind my back. But see, Jesus paid for my failure. All of it. I'm alive, I'm raised up, I'm a new creation, he saved me. So my past belongs to him. And when I hide something from my past behind my back, God says, that's not yours, that's mine. I paid for it. I can show you the receipt. I paid for that at the cross. So you need to give me everything and drop it. Your past is taken care of. And before you had a past, I had a plan. I'm not fazed by this. But it's important to know who we were before Christ, not to feel shame, but to understand I need to let it all go. And to fully embrace, when I understand how much I needed him, I understand how much he's done for me. God had this plan to make you alive, truly alive in Christ. And many of us get hung up on our past because it haunts us. But God already had a past before we had a past, a plan before we had a past. And he paid the price so we could drop and let go of what we hide and hold on to. And this is kind of a mouthful, but think of it this way. We can look past our past because God had a plan in the past before our past. Your past is past. It's done. Let it go. He is the starting point that redefines everything of how we understand ourselves, the world, and God's purposes. And that phrase, who we are in Christ, changes everything. And again, if you don't fully understand and embrace who you are apart from Christ, you'll struggle to understand and embrace who you are in Christ. But when you do understand, then you can lean into the truth about the past is gone and who you were is not who you are. Who you are is who Jesus says you are. And what he did is he didn't just save you from something, he saved you for something. Go back to that verse 10. We are God's handiwork. The word means like an artisan project, not a mass-produced thing. You're here on purpose. And God just didn't plan for your arrival. He planned for who you would be in Christ and what you contribute through him into the world. You have value. You have worth. And in Christ, we find out that God created us to do good works, to contribute something. We're God's handiwork here on purpose and for purpose. And part of God's purpose is to live out in us these good works that he created in us to do. And he planned long ago. There's something, because you're a unique creation, there's a unique work that you can do in the world. And God said, I can't wait to rescue you and redeem you and reshape you into my image the way you were created to be in the beginning before this brokenness. And there's something the world needs that maybe uniquely you can bring it like nobody else. And it might be because of your past, this thing that you hide in shame, that when you bring it out and let God use it, you find somebody else had that same past and you go, wow, we have this in common. You can help them navigate it like others can't. See, God uses everything. All our failures, all our mistakes, the mistakes by others, made by others, that are things that were done to us. You can make a unique difference in this world when you understand who you uniquely are in Christ and the unique plans God made for you, prepared in advance for you to do these works that uniquely you can contribute. And God is working out in you and out of you what he created and purposed in you to do through creation and through the cross. You have value. You have worth. You're loved, and your past doesn't take away from that, but your past can actually become part of God's plan. God says, I can use all of it. Romans 8:28, he says, this thing in your past, these things that trip you up, these things that even happen to you by others, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his what? His purpose. That God has purpose in your life. And he says, I can use all things, even the thing you hide behind your back that I already paid for, and it's mine. You should drop it and leave it in my hand. Leave it at the foot of the cross because it's already paid for. But you're hanging on to it. I can use that. The things that were done to you by others that were harmful, hurtful. He goes, yeah, I can use that for good. Now, what he doesn't say is that those things are good. There's a difference. He says, I can use them for good. But anything in your life has purpose. When you are in Christ and called according to his purpose, he says, I can use that for my purposes in you and what I want to do in you through the world. But he doesn't say all things are good. It's kind of like making cookies. I've used this analogy before. If you're making cookies, what are the ingredients you would need? I'm not a baker. Flour, sugar, eggs. What? Vanilla? Butter. Chocolate. Love. Got to be made with love. That's a special ingredient. That's someone said the first service. Like all those things. Okay, so here's the thing. All together, you put those in the oven, and something wonderful comes out. At least it's supposed to if you do it right. Right? Use all those different things. The thing is, you might go late one night and think, man, I'm really hungry. I'm kind of craving something, watching a movie. You open up the pantry. You look in there. You might think, chocolate chips. Chocolate, that sounds good. I'll have a glass of milk. I don't find a sugar maybe if you're in a really bad spot, you know, in life. I just need some sugar. I don't open the pantry and go, I think I want a raw egg. I mean, that's Rocky Balboa training stuff like that and salmonella written all over it. I don't want that. I've never opened the pantry, even in desperation, and thought, oh, flour. Is anyone looking? Just a big scoop of flour? That's the stuff. Don't tell anybody. Like, we don't crave flour. But in something, it can be really, really good. All the ingredients together, and here's the thing, under heat and under the hands of someone who knows what they're doing, like God, he can use all those to make something very, very good. And even the things that are the worst in your life, God says, they answer to me. And I can use them for my purposes, for good. And the thing is, at the very beginning, he says, and we know. Some of you heard this verse before. Even if you haven't, and we know. Let me ask you, especially if you know this verse. Do you know that this is true? Not like, do you know the verse? Yeah, I can even tell you where it's found. It's kind of back toward the middle a little bit, kind of back from the middle, about halfway through. Like, no, you might know where it is. You may know the reference. You maybe even have it memorized. But when something happens in your life that's not good, by somebody else's bad choice or even your bad choice, is your instinct to go, no, God can use this for good according to his purpose? Like, do you know that? Do you live as if it's true? Because that's God's plan. And there's nothing wasted. God is always working. There's no failure or mistake. God can use it all for his good purposes. I'm going to read you one more verse, and then the band's going to come, and they're going to play a song, and they're going to come now. But as they're moving around, try and focus on me. Stay with me for a minute. Philippians 1:6 says this. Being confident of this. Again, some of you know this verse. Some of you may have memorized it. Just because you know it doesn't mean you live like it's true. Are you confident that this is true? That he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Are you confident of that? That every day of your life, God is working on purpose, with purpose, in you for his good purposes? Like, do you believe that every day God's saying, man, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and work in you today to keep shaping you to be the one I created you to be as my child? Do you wake up every day believing God's at work in me and he wants to work through me and God will finish what he started? I was created on purpose. I have value. I'm not an accident. God designed, created, and positioned me. Then he redeemed me for his purposes to know him and know who I am in Christ and to make him known as his life is lived through me. And that every single day, God is working with purpose in me to do something in me and through me. The reality is, you may not in any given moment know the exact purpose of what God is doing. There's some things still in my life like, God, I believe it has purpose, but I have no idea what it is. Even things that were in the past, I don't know what the purpose was, but I choose to believe you have purpose. You may not know the purpose, but you must know that there is purpose. To feel like you're going through meaningless, purposeless situations has devastating consequences to the soul, to your relationships, to your life. And there is purpose in the process. Are you confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion? You can take that. Do you really know that all things in your life, God is going to work for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes? Do you really know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made on purpose by your Creator who wants to be your Redeemer? See, there's purpose in the process. My role then is to be patient in the process and let God work in me as my Creator, as my Redeemer, because I'm his workmanship. I need to let him work, which means I need to position myself to let him work in me, which means trusting that there is purpose, that I am here on purpose, that he's working in purpose every day. I position myself to lean into that. What would it look like for you today and tomorrow to live like those verses are true, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you're here on purpose, that God works all things for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to purpose, all things. What would it look like to live as if he's true? It's true that my past is gone when he pays for it, and that since he's paid for it, it's his. I need to drop it. My past is past. It's gone. What would it look like to live tomorrow believing that God is working in you? You're a handiwork that's not finished. He's still working. He's not finished with you yet. So I need to position myself to let him work in me and through me. A next step for you might be to say, you know what? God's done something inside me already. I'm a child of God. I believe that. I'm living that out. I want to do what Tim talked about. I want to do an outward expression of my inward reality and be baptized like we saw in the video. It might be to say, yes, God, I want to be a child of God. I want to accept what you did for me at the cross. Your next step might be something, maybe every day to say, I'm going to open the Bible and look for words that tell me who I am in Christ and believe every time I read it, say, yes, that's true of me because that's who I am in Christ. And I'm going to believe those things. What maybe it's to join a small group. Small groups are kicking off this week. I can't wait to be part of my small group that I get to be a part of here tonight at 5:30. There's lots of groups that are starting on Sundays and some on other days of the week. You can go on the Live Oak app and look for the small group menu to look at different groups that are starting. Maybe it's just to be around some other people to help remind you of these truth, because God uses people to speak truth, comfort, and encouragement into each other's lives. There's purpose in the process. You're God's handiwork. He works all things for good. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you were created on purpose and for purpose, and God's always working with purpose. So what does it look like for you to lean into that and take a next step? The band's going to play a song that really takes this whole message. And what I understand is usually you're more likely to leave here humming a tune than humming a sermon. And sometimes music has a better hook for a godly truth. And this song does that for me. Maybe it'll do that for you too. This is a reflective song. I just want you to sit and listen. We want to create some space for you to be quiet, reflect, and think on what we've talked about today. But don't just listen to the words of the song. Don't just listen to what I said. Listen to what God might be saying to you in this moment about his purpose in you, about how he's working in you, how he's working through your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God works all things for the good of his process. And you can be confident that he will finish what he started.